Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast of Real Recovery. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to what I promise will be another award-winning episode of Real Recovery. Bill Arnold on this side of the studio and just across the way, George P. Fraser. Hello, George.
Bill, how are you?
I'm good. So here's the word of the day, endogenous. You know what that means? I didn't think so. It means originating from within. So something that comes from within is endogenous.
That explains why we have nothing.
Yep. So, George, I want to talk a little bit about Hebrews tonight because I've been thinking about Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I love the fact that the race has been marked out for us. You ever focused on that part of that verse?
Probably not as much as I should have, but I like it. And I like it as far as recovery, in that when we get in and our life changes, we need to set an example for newcomers coming in just as the people before us did. And when I read that, what's Hebrews 11, right?
Hebrews 12.
Hebrews 12, yep. Right after the faith chapter.
Yep.
And
good one.
What it's talking about is we have examples that we can model after. Obviously, we want to model ourselves after Christ. But we see that people have done it, and they have finished the race, and well done, good and faithful servant. And it's nice to know that it's possible. Fair?
Yeah. Now, I don't study Greek, but I learned some Greek words. The word race, George, is the word agon, which we get our word agony. So life has got suffering in it. It's got lots of things we have to endure. Like this show.
A lot of people have to endure us.
Get that.
Yeah, it's not always going to be great every day.
How about seldom? I mean, it's the race set out before us is, even if we don't understand what's going on or your plan is not working, that doesn't mean then there is no plan. God has a plan for us.
That's a great point.
Well,
because my plan has never worked.
No, it never has, does it?
Do you even have a plan?
I don't know. I got no
plan. You just kind of improvise, don't you?
I do.
No, isn't it? I take a lot of comfort in that, that I don't, it's not dependent on me, because if it is, it's going to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an overall plan, and God has us, and he's sovereign. Go ahead. It's your turn.
No, no. I'm just listening to the wisdom of George F.
Well, God knew that you would not respond there. So... I like that, Bill. And one of the things we want to talk about, at least I do today, is be in the Word. Be in the Word every day. And one of the things you and I, from working together, Salvation Army, get in the Word. Don't start a day without it. Don't start a day without a prayer. And I know you're going to be interviewing Tim Keller on your morning show, which is 6 to 8 on Central Standard Time. On November 9th.
Yeah.
And he talks about that if God wasn't totally sovereign, he couldn't get out of bed in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's totally sovereign, and I try not to rush getting out of bed. You know, I try to get up about 9.
Yeah.
I miss your show a lot, but it's podcast, and it's really good.
Well, thank you, George. Thank you.
Your turn.
Let's talk about step 11 tonight.
Okay.
Before we bring on our very special guest tonight.
Yes.
Yes.
And... I think tonight is the key word of the show.
And
we're
indeed
on every Sunday at 5 Central Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
Step 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. There's a couple things here that are key. We want to seek his will for us rather than my will for him. God as we understand him isn't God as we create him. That has already been done by God, who is the only uncreated being. He created everything, and we understand God to be Jesus Christ, because that's the only way to have access. But we meditate on the Word. And Tim Keller, once again, in his book on prayer that you gave me many years ago, talks
hardcover.
about
a hardcover edition.
Yeah, you actually got it before it came out in paperback
for
me.
I know.
I think it was my birthday.
Full retail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that aside, what he talked about in there was meditating on God's word and not on ourselves. And a lot of people meditate, but they meditate on themselves.
Mm-hmm. And they think so often more about their sins, and they should be thinking about their Savior.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we focus on our sins and our behavior and our problems when we should spend a lot of that time focusing on Christ and the race he has marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, as the verse continues in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That is Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3.
That's very strong.
It's very strong.
Why don't we lose heart?
Why don't we?
Yeah, I'll ask the questions here. You answer them.
Well, why don't we lose heart? I don't know how to answer that.
Because we see that it's possible that all things through Christ are possible. You know, apart from me, you can do nothing, right?
And now I get where you're going. Yes.
Yeah, sorry, I could have rephrased that.
That's okay.
But I think for me, I go, well, I can't do that. Well, that's correct, George. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
But you can with Christ. And I think a lot of times the Holy Spirit is talking to us when we go, well, that's impossible. In there it also says, with man, it is impossible, but all things are possible with God.
Matthew 19:26.
We have a prize for Bill.
That's right.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what that is. And I think I want to focus a little bit tonight on the path, because everybody gets overwhelmed at the beginning of any kind of period of recovery, or if they're struggling to try to get out of an addiction, the path ahead seems daunting to them. How in the world can I ever do this?
You can't. And that comes from the Spirit of God. I remember when I was getting sober, not only couldn't I do it, I didn't want to do it.
Right.
And then you look back years later, is it possible you're wrong? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about not focusing on the problem, focusing on the Savior. We look at not the problem, but the solution. Let's be solution driven. And you used a word, a big word, Bill, and I'm proud of you. You used endogenous.
Endogenous, yes.
Yes, inside us. And one of the things you and I both do, we get the endogenous-induced endorphins going by mm-hmm. working out.
We do. Natural high.
The problem is our self can only go so far, and we need a third party in there, and that's Christ. And when we seek his will for us in this step, and we're spending time in the Word and we're praying, I think the reason I read the Bible is to get God into my head and get George out, but it's also the way he speaks to me. I mean, he speaks to me through other people, but he also speaks to me daily through the Word. And otherwise, if I don't read the Word, our conversations are one way, and then I'm asking him for things, and this is his way of answering me.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work for you?
I wished I was paying better attention to
your
train
exactly.
Of
so we do that the same way.
And
I think that is great. It is great.
It is great. You know? Yeah. I was thinking about something John Owen said. He was a guy who lived in the 17th century, and he talks about the storms of life and when they come up. He was an avid sailor. He did a lot of sailing. And he said, when the storms come up and the wind comes up, you get to the wheel and you hold on steady and you hold the rudder steady. So when the storm is over, you have actually gotten to your destination faster. So there is purpose and glory in storms. As much as we don't like difficulties and obstacles in our life, there is a benefit when we stay steady and stay close to Christ.
Well, I like
that's
that.
It. You're not going to talk?
Well, no, it's a great analogy, and the rudder has to be the correct rudder.
It does. And we have to stay steady. We got to keep our hands focused on the Word of God, focused on Christ, focused on community, and focused on serving others.
Well, Skipper, as long as we're going to use naval, references today, I like to look.
Like, am I your little buddy tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, gee, Skipper. All right, we'll take a little break and we come back. Boy, we've got a Faith Radio media star on the show tonight. And for once, I'm not talking about George Fraser.
Well, yes, this is going to be a great show.
Yeah.
Tonight.
We'll be back in just a minute with more of Real Recovery. Welcome back to the show. So glad you've joined us tonight. Bill Arnold on this side of the studio and across the way, George P. Fraser. George, we have a Faith Radio media star in the studio tonight.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Listen to that voice. See?
Stardom. It's fabulous. Right, what a great evening we're going to have.
Yes, indeed. What a great night. Anyway, we have Pam Lundell with us. She does the KTAS morning show, and we're so glad that you've joined us today. Thank you, Pam.
Oh, I am really pleased to be here and kind of, you know, share a story, a part of my life, and in hopes that it's going to help others.
It always does. It never not does. It's always good.
Exactly.
Good grammar, huh, Bill?
Well, it was a double negative.
I like that. Yeah,
but it's early tonight, and people do that.
That's right.
I think what's interesting about a recovery show, Pam, mm-hmm. is we all are in recovery if we're Christians, that our life has changed from before.
Well put.
And a lot of us come into it, and there's people in our lives that are in recovery, and we do our own walk. And as Bill read out of Hebrews 12, we have a beacon to go to show us, and he talked about how it's not always easy, that the race can be filled with hard times, but we follow Christ's example and move forward. I can't wait to hear your life story or God's story in mm-hmm. your life tonight.
Absolutely. You know, in Hebrews, he marks out a path, and it takes some people a lot longer to learn that than others, mm-hmm. that we don't have to try so hard, right?
Well, and it also says keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. So if your eyes are not fixed on Jesus, maybe you're not seeing the path mm-hmm. as well as you should. Because mm-hmm. the path is there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, we're dying to hear your path, your journey. I know it's not always the easiest to share.
Yeah, but, you know, through Christ, I've been able to share a story from my life, which is actually the story about my husband and his battle with addiction. We're a radio family. My husband's name is John, and he was well known in the Twin Cities here as a traffic reporter. And George, you and I ran into each other in the green room here at Faith Radio, and I just started sharing my story. In fact, I mean, part I said, I think I just threw up on you. You know, the story just came out, and you said, you know what? I think this is going to help a lot of people. And I've heard that from time and time again. But my husband, John, dealt with addiction his entire life.
Mm-hmm. Starting young,
we understand, but it wasn't addressed. And we got married, gosh, when was that? In the early 90s. And there were some obvious signs of addiction, but I thought, oh, it'll go away, mm-hmm. you know. And I was raised in a Christian home, but I really wasn't really having a relationship with Jesus. I went to church on Sunday, and I went to work, and I did all this stuff and tried to control my family and tried to control my husband, and it just didn't work.
Yeah. George and I often refer to that as voting yes for Jesus. You know, we vote yes for Jesus, but he's mm-hmm. not Lord of our lives, and we're not actively engaged in following him.
Oh, that's incredible. That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
Well,
see that, George? I make good comments once in a while.
Well, one of the things that happened with my husband that people don't know about, I'll just, you know, start at the end and then go back to the beginning. He passed away suddenly on August 14th, 2005 from an accidental drug overdose. And now you hear about that every single day and about the legislation. Thank God, you know, that people are trying to do something about this crisis in our nation. But it's been taking lives for many, many, many years. And my husband, was, you know, going through his career. We were working together in radio, and the week after 9/11, my husband had been scheduled for gastric bypass surgery. And that was another illustration of his addiction. He was smoking marijuana at the time a lot, and he ate a lot, and he gained a lot of weight. And someone said, here's a way to fix that, is for you to have gastric bypass surgery. Well, that's a physical fix for a spiritual and a mental problem. And after he had that procedure, and it works for some people. I just want to go on record to say it does work for some people.
Right.
It did not work for my husband. And he lost 100 pounds, and I think it was just the stress on his body. This is when I start telling a story, it's like, what? Then came down with Guillain-Barré. He couldn't walk one day. And it's a paralysis, that kind of takes away the myelin sheath off of your nerves. And doctors now believe that it was because of the stress of the surgery. So he wound up in the hospital for 2 months with all kinds of crazy, procedures and things to help him to not be paralyzed. when he came out, he had lost, you know, this 100 pounds. He was not very healthy, and he became a raging alcoholic. Something in our marriage that I'd never encountered before, because he didn't drink. But the, you know, the addictions were in other areas, and it all came to a head, and then he went into treatment. And I'm sure you guys can comment on this too, because at that time we were busy, we had a life, we both had jobs, there were two kids at home. So yeah, we can do 30 days. And then for me, the codependent person, it was really nice to know where he was safe for 30 days so that I could breathe. And now we know that 30 days is just the bandage. So anyway, so he came out, tried to go back to work, and went back to his old, you know, behavior, and then was in treatment again. And I think ultimately three times, even including the Meadows in Arizona, where I attended family week there. And, you know, ultimately, we did not know about Teen Challenge. We knew about Teen Challenge, but again, we thought it was for teenagers. And I just love the Shervers now. It's Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, which I absolutely love. And I wish that we had known about that, because I think that that could have helped. John is a Christian. He loves his Lord, but as everyone on earth has, he had struggles. So let me think. So as he got out of, treatment facility after treatment facility, he got more ill. He physically just kind of faded away, until one morning, I found him. He actually was kind of he didn't sleep very well at night. And so he went downstairs on the evening of August 13th. And that's when the Perseid meteor showers come around, the shooting stars, and he had wanted to see them in the backyard. And so I let the dog out at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, you know what? We should go and look at the shooting stars. And I went downstairs and I found my husband. And I don't want to wish that on anybody ever to go through something like that. But it was also kind of a transcendent experience, because he was so at peace. He looked just like he was happy, relaxed. And it was just like God had said, you know, John, you've tried this your way for so long that it's time to go home. And that's when I realized, you know, that many people get healed on earth. You know, and for a while I was angry. I was very angry because I heard so many people, I discovered Jesus and I stopped my addiction. I stopped drinking. I stopped doing the drugs. But many people get healed in heaven. And that's what happened to John. And then the days, you know, after that, just anyone who's gone through something like that, it's just a major fog. It's very difficult, you know, going into a room and picking out a casket for your spouse. And just not even realizing that it's real. It's just a crazy thing. But the Albin Funeral Chapel in the Twin Cities, they're a ministry. They're an amazing family. And they had worked with our family, with other relatives before. And they knew John. So after the homegoing service, which was absolutely beautiful, attended by like 1,000 people. And again, it was just a blur. We were out at Lakewood Cemetery. And I was standing, you know, next to, I didn't want to leave, you know, at the last, you know, it's, you have to finally say goodbye, you know. And I stood there and I was talking with one of the guys from the funeral chapel who knew John. And he was so funny. He said, we were talking about how bizarre it is to buy a $4,000 piece of furniture and bury it in the earth when John's in heaven. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt that John is in heaven. Mm-hmm. But he turned around and he said, well, you know, Pam, the shell's in there, but the nut's in heaven. It's okay to laugh. It's okay. Because I needed that laugh at the cemetery that day, for sure. But, you know, his story, I remember we were writing the obituary and someone said cause of death, and someone had mentioned that he had asthma. They didn't know exactly yet. The toxicology reports had not come back. So somehow in the Star Tribune, cause of death came as an asthma attack. And I just realized that, you know, if you are going through something like this, that you need such a close group of friends and people who will take care of you, because it's nobody's business. You can just put suddenly, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I remember at the homegoing service standing next to his casket and greeting people that, you know, I'm telling my whole story. Are we going to break? I'm going to run out of material.
We'll have lots of questions for you, Pam. Don't worry.
Okay, yeah. Good.
We're going to take a break in a couple of minutes.
Okay, yeah. Great. So, one poignant moment I remember as I was greeting people at his homegoing service. And don't call them funerals.
Okay.
Because it was his homegoing service, and standing there and people coming up. And I never got mad at anyone for what they said. But one woman did come up, and several people did say, "Oh, Pam, God's going to use this one day." And you just want to go, "You know, I just want my husband back healthy."
Oh.
I, you know, and I'm not saying don't say that, because sometimes anything that you say, or just, you know, holding our hand and crying with us is the best thing you can do. And there's never really a wrong thing to say, but that really struck me. And I'll share later on in the interview too, how that came to fruition, how God really, really used that. Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll definitely like to hear that. George, so far I am, it's got such sadness to find your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Was it in the middle of the night?
It was about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah. And went downstairs, and that was, yeah, I have to share that piece too, because on TV, in TV shows and movies, you see, oh my goodness, it must be the worst thing. It is one of the worst things in the world, but I didn't start shrieking. I didn't start hollering. I called 911.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked so at peace. And that is when the Holy Spirit literally, and it's not very glamorous, but picked me up by my armpits. And that's how I felt the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. And he's never left my side.
I'm getting a little choked up, actually.
I don't.
George, you want to say something? Because you're the only one not crying right now.
Close. I feel how hard that would be going back for John, that here I'm going to try to do something about my problem. So I have this operation, and I realize it really hasn't changed anything but physically. Mm-hmm. And there's a high correlation with that surgery and addiction afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt that the food addiction is the hardest one. And so, as you said, we're looking for a physical solution to a spiritual problem. Our salvation does not guarantee our sobriety any more than sobriety guarantees salvation.
That's an excellent point.
And so as we go forward, and it's like, what a touching story. I can't wait till we come back from the break to hear the rest of it. And I really appreciate you doing this because it's helping my recovery, and I know it'll help other people. So thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, we have Pam Lundell in the studio. We're so glad you're with us tonight on Real Recovery. Thanks for joining in to the conversation with us and telling your friends about us, because we're the kind of show that you know somebody that's struggling with some kind of addiction or issue, and it's good to pass this on. We'll take a short break and be right back.
And everyone knows that you're my favorite girl, but there's some things in life that are not meant.
Welcome back to the show. This is While My Guitar Gently Weeps. We did a little weeping in here just before the break. Those are moving stories. Those are very difficult to hear, but takes a lot of courage to be sharing them. So, Pam, thank you so much. We're with Pam Lundell in studio tonight, and she is the host of the morning show on KTIS,
Yes.
Faith Radio. So thanks for being here.
That's the good morning show that I listen to.
Versus the other morning show?
Is there another morning show?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
There is. Yeah.
You guys, don't make me stop this radio station.
Billy, I really feel the Holy Spirit in that it touches us. And one of the things that just jumped out, and there's so many, is that people, good people who are Christians, don't always get sober and stay sober. And that doesn't mean they're not trying. It doesn't mean that they don't have faith. It just means that it's a big battle, and sometimes people just don't make it. And that's really sad.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Well, and you know, like I said, I mean, and I'm walking along and I'm sharing John's story because even before he passed away, you know, in some conversations we had, I know he would want to help people. I found his AA book, after he was in treatment for 30 days at one facility and it was signed by all of these people who loved him so much and who he impacted while he was there. But also for me, of course, while John is in the addictive behavior, you know, I'm being a goofball on my own. I mean, we had a blended family and I was trying to make it appear that everything was okay on the outside when everything was crazy at home and just trying to control everything. And that does not work. Absolutely does not work. And as I mentioned on October 14th, when I found my husband who had already gone to heaven in our home and I was by myself, and that's when the Holy Spirit just literally, tangibly picked me up and hasn't left my side. And that's, you know, an amazing part of that. That's, you know, I don't think God took my husband so I would come to know Jesus. I think it worked out that way. He had been there my whole life saying, hey, knock, 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 you know, and finally that's where I was.
What you're saying is so profound and so real to you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I've often thought if there's ever a tragedy in the future, God, can you pretty much guarantee I'll have the kind of comfort you're talking about? And God says, I will be there in the moment.
Oh, don't make me cry now. Okay.
I'm sorry.
So, no, it's a good cry because wait till you hear this. So we had the service, like the following Wednesday, Thursday, again, just kind of a blur. And now just work with me on this one. I was brushing my teeth the day after the service and all of a sudden I had a vision. Now, let me tell you something. Pam Lundell doesn't have visions. Other people have visions.
Nor is George Fraser.
You know, and and all of a sudden I wasn't sleeping. It wasn't a dream. It still would have been remarkable if I had been sleeping, but I was, driving down. It looked like the Microsoft screensaver, the two-way highway in the country with the green grass and the blue sky. And I was driving down it and it started to like ribbon and my car flipped over and then I was standing in the grass and looking out into the horizon, and all of a sudden coming toward me was a 1972 Buick Skylark, red. John had one of those. And it drove up. He was in the passenger seat with his elbow out the window, and he looked amazing. And we had this conversation. I said, you look incredible. He goes, you look great. I said, no, you look really, really good. And he got out of the car, and I went up to him, and I hugged my husband. I could smell him. Mm. It was him. It was the guy that I married, healthy. Mm. And he squinted and looked into the distance a little bit. He said, you know what? I feel good and I'm sober too. That was it. And then I called my pastor because I know John's in heaven. I know that John didn't come to see me. But as my pastor explained, God will open a window and let you know that happened in an incredible way. And, you know, once you pass away and you go to heaven, hopefully go to heaven, you have better things to do than drop down. And I've had people come up and go, no, that was John. I said, it was God let that happen, but it wasn't John, but it literally was a vision. And I had some girlfriends that I shared that with. And a few weeks later, they're like, have you seen John again? I'm like, no, that was a gift. That was just an incredible gift and just blew my mind.
Really cool.
I was going to let you go first.
Well, I think there's so much here, and thank you for mm-hmm. sharing all this. Very moving, and it's just the comfort here of feeling the Spirit in the studio. But there's a couple things here. The number one thing to me that jumps out is we need to get saved, okay? Because our sobriety does not guarantee salvation. It mm-hmm. has nothing to do with it. But you can lose your sobriety, but you can't lose your salvation. And the thing I get
Amen.
Is I'm in heaven and I'm okay. And we can be on a real winning streak, Bill, where we think we're doing great. But if you don't have Jesus, apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm the only way, X412, to get to heaven. We're only here for a short time. And we're talking about going to funerals and do this. It's going to happen to all of us. You know, you said talking about dying suddenly. My guess is for all of us when we die, it's going to seem pretty sudden. You know?
Let me tell you, I'm sorry to interrupt too.
No, go ahead.
I sat there and when I discovered, John, John's body at our home, I just was kind of shocked too because I never thought that was going to be the answer. I always thought he would get better. I always thought he was going to get better, but he did get better.
He did.
Yes.
It's kind of like, you know, I work with a lot of psychologists, not always personally, sometimes professionally.
Mostly personal.
You know, and they're not real good or I'd be farther along. But they talk about that we can't conceive of ourselves dying. And I always say that's because we don't. Mm-hmm. The reason we don't see it, we go to the judgment and we live forever. It's just a matter of where you're going to do it. And it's coming. And so when I hear this story and you get confirmation back, excuse me, I got the crying sniffles, that it's okay and I'm sober and I'm healthy and I'm happy and you're going to see him again.
Absolutely.
So a lot of people who listen to this, Pam, are in recovery and they're dealing with people that are struggling with recovery. If you get sober and you don't get saved, you spend a Christless eternity. I might lose my sobriety someday, but I'm not going to lose my relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what I keep feeling and hearing here, Bill.
Mm. And that's the hope that we have. I mean, in Revelation, I mean, you have a mark on your forehead that you are saved. You can't shake it once you accept Christ in your heart. In his grip, you see that on a lot of emails. You are in his grip. So that was just so comforting to me as well, too, that I know that I'm going to see John, and it's not a cliche.
Yeah, and George, I appreciated your comment because I find that we're often confounded by the idea of time. When people will say it just seems like yesterday I was in college or something like that, because I think we're built, designed by God to live in a timeless kingdom with him. So it comes as no surprise that we're confounded by time.
That's really, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we're eternal beings we're spiritual beings having a worldly experience, but we're designed to be with him for all of eternity.
I'm not saying anything because I'm pondering it, and I think it's a great point. We don't talk about that very often.
No, but, you know, you talk to people who are in their 70s and 80s, and they talk about when they were in the service or something like it was yesterday, mm-hmm. and they can't believe 50, 60 years has passed. Mm-hmm. They're confounded by it, and, yeah, I think that's the way we are because we're designed to live in a timeless kingdom with God.
I get a glimpse of attorney sometimes when we're doing the show and it ain't going that well and it seems like the silence lasts forever. That's God's way, Sean.
Yeah.
I said ain't on purpose.
You guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Well, and then I told you, you know, I think in the last segment about how we were at the funeral and people were coming up and saying, you know, what they could, and, several said, you know, Pam, God's going to use this one day. And at the time, you're like, I would rather have my husband back. Well, fast forward 4 months. It's because of my ridiculous Midwestern work ethic and my wonderful parents that I came to work at KTIS. John and I had been doing a show together at a radio station that had been sold, and it was actually going off the air in August. And he passed away, like I said, on August 14th. I had a nice, not a severance package, but I had, you know, a nice check for 4 months. That's how God stepped in and took care of me. And I do voiceovers. I have a studio at home, and all of a sudden I got all these new clients that I could hardly keep up with. I mean, God stepped in, and he takes care of widows and orphans. And it was amazing just to see that happen. I had to look back after a few months because it was happening. I'm still in a fog. My mom and dad lived 2 hours away. My mom told my dad, you're on your own. And she came and moved in with me for 2 months.
Wow.
And just hugged me and read the Bible. And next to the Bible was Randy Alcorn's book called Heaven, which I recommend to so many people. It is just, I wanted to know where he was, what he was doing, and heaven is real. You know, it was so helpful. And then I started working at KTIS. I started doing your show. I was doing New Day with Pam Lundell on the Faith Radio Network in 2007, December 12th. I still have, when you started working here, you know, you get a piece of paper at the front desk that welcomes you. I still have that.
And then
2 years later in 2008, I started doing the KTIS morning show with David Christian and now with Andy. And the miracles haven't stopped. It was amazing. After I started sharing a little bit of my story here and there in between the incredible music that we play, widows started calling me and said, if you can do it, I can do it. You know, Betsy Sathers lost her husband in the 35W bridge collapse. He was the ninth and the last 19th victim that was pulled from the waters of the Mississippi. And she just said, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And About a year later, I got about 16 widows together. We went to dinner at Chow Bella in Bloomington, and I modeled it after Grief Share. I stole from Grief Share because I love the final poignant meeting that you have. You bring a picture of your loved one, and you light a candle in their honor, and you share a little bit about them. And we did that with 16 widows, and that was the birth of an incredible foundation that I was asked to join called Widow Mite. Widow, M-I-G-H-T.
Mm-hmm.
So there he is. That's how God works. So I'm able. Now, it's 12 years. It's going on 13 years since John went to heaven. But I'm now able to come alongside those who are hurting and in those first few months.
I'm jumping back to, you know, you're just 4 months into being a widow, and you're already on the race that God has marked out for you.
Absolutely. Yes.
And he's already taking care of you.
Oh, it's I can't even tell you. I was in secular radio for 15 years before I started at KTIS, and I absolutely know that that is what God was preparing me for a time such as this.
Mm. And I know there's well-intentioned people that want to say something poignant in the moment, and they try to say something that's comforting, and usually it backfires.
I try to be kind. But
I know.
Yeah, I'll share a story coming up and maybe what you can say to widows too. But I also have the added experience of, you know, being married to John and going through the addictions that he suffered from and the lessons that God taught me through that as well.
It's very interesting to me, and I'm looking forward to hearing what do you say, because I went through an experience this year where people would say stuff, and I realized how dumb a lot of the stuff I've said over the years is.
Mm.
And what I learned is,
don't be hard on yourself.
That's you know, the best thing people would say to me, and I want to get your opinion when we come back, is, I'm sorry. I'll pray for you. If there's anything else I can do, let me know. And at that, that's kind of where it works if you leave it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Pam Mundell, we're just delighted to have you in studio tonight. We'll take a short break and be back with more of Real Recovery in just a minute. Welcome back. We're so glad you're with us tonight. We have Pam Mundell in studio, Faith Radio star, host of the morning show on KTIS.
The good show.
Yeah. You're going to keep bringing that up?
You guys.
Yeah, well, I only have, this is my last chance.
I might not be on the air next week.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Might be using a second crutch.
Oh, things not to say to someone, right?
You look good, George. You look good. You hobbled in on one crutch, so you're looking good.
Got a great parking spot.
Did you?
Yeah.
You got one of those handicap passes?
No,
you should
I
get one.
But yeah, I should.
Yeah.
I should have had one anyway, you know?
Pam's story is unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here, and we were talking on the break, and I'd like to jump into that if you could.
Yeah, well, I was curious about, with John's addictions, and you were probably in some kind of codependent relationship, or when he was going through recovery, you must have had your resentments or something.
Yeah, I have to tell you that he was in three different treatment facilities. First of all, as I mentioned, and then we learned, I mean, and I don't know how many times I dropped him off at hospitals and then a 72-hour hold, and he'd call, come and get me. And he would persuade me to come and get him. And one time a doctor called me and said, if you keep doing this, he's going to die. Just like that. And he did, eventually. I, you know, coming alongside him as someone who was codependent. And not that I could have changed that, you know, but I think that a lot of people with someone, if it's your son, if it's your spouse who's involved in addictive behavior, you try to change them, rather than trying to change yourself. So I did go to Al-Anon while he was going to AA. But again, he had so many addictive things going on that he used AA as a cover for everything else he was doing. He went, oh, I'm not drinking. But there was all that other myriad addictive behavior going on. And then I was afraid to leave the house. And I actually had to go through some therapy because I had post-traumatic stress disorder. Because when I would leave, he'd always... start drinking, and I'd come home, and then it would be a scene, and it was just, it was constant, and it was madness. And so I went to Al-Anon, and I was at Al-Anon, and I wasn't happy being there, because I'm like, I gotta do this for John, because of his behavior. And it took stubborn Pam so long to understand that I was doing this for me, you know, for my mental and spiritual health. And so eventually it was good, but there was a lot of anger on my part. I thought, can't you just change? Why can't you just change?
Why wouldn't there be anger, Bill? We all run into these relationships, and I'm glad you took the steps to, you know, work on the issues, because they don't go away.
Yeah, and resentments can grow easily and quickly, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And then in through the three major treatments that facilities that he went through, they had family week. So I was like, okay, took a week of my beloved vacation to go there, and now I'll roll up my sleeves, because now I get to really let him have it. And then the counselors were like, no. No, I'm like, can I tell him how bad he made me feel? You know, and no, because it was very profound. It was like, he's hurting enough. And I think that just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I realized I don't know what he's going through, but I know that it's just tearing him up inside.
So, George, where would Pam get some of this? Where would she find a place to go air her feelings and pain?
Well, I'm a big fan of the group she talked about.
Okay.
And, of course, with different groups, there's different levels of health.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we, in a secular group, we can miss Jesus, obviously, and that's where the solution is. But to think, because I'm a Christian, I'm not going to be affected here, that's not how it works. But he does provide ways to work on it. And I can think of nothing harder than to watch somebody you love kill themselves. And yeah, you're mad, but you love them, so you're conflicted, and you don't want to enable them, but you don't want to see them die out on the street, and somebody can tell you you're killing him by loving him, and it's very confusing. And there's not a right answer to all of this, and I always think you start loving, you know, you never stop loving people, but, you know, right. We hear a lot with people with kids, well, what should I do? I always think, live with what you would have with the worst case scenario. You know, there's that tough love thing, mm-hmm. but if your kid dies on the street with a heroin overdose because you wouldn't let him stay at home, mm-hmm. are you going to be okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not a real good answer all
you
the
know,
time, Sarah.
You know, something just swam to the surface while you were talking about that. So I, and definitely a Christian therapist, and I just say, if you're stuck, you know, you have got to find help, and a Christian therapist is number one,
yep.
Okay? Because Christ needs to be number one in your life. But one profound thing that my therapist said to me when I was so upset, because I'm like, here, my husband has died, I'm a widow, but I'm mad even after that still, because I thought he would get better, that we were going to have a great life together. So I just, to be honest with you, I had that, and the therapist looked at me and said, you know what? You can love John, but hate the addict. And that was profound.
I would bet the more you love John, the more you hated the addict in him.
You know, and hate's a strong word, and I don't like use it very often.
Well, I know.
But no, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. And the more I concentrated on love rather than the H word or irritation or whatever, you know, I realized that I love him. And you know who loves John? Jesus loves John.
Amen.
Well, we look at our limits, too, because I really can't change another person. I can't even change myself. But God can and will, if we seek him, to help us deal with this. And you can always pray for people. And I think we neglect that a lot. I know I do in my life. There's power in the word. There's power in the prayer. There's power with other believers. And with man, things are impossible. With God, no. And if you're married to somebody who has a problem, or you're in a relationship, unfortunately, you have a problem, too, that you have to work on, too. Because it's hard to be loving and Christ-like when somebody's destroying themselves and a big part of your life together.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems so unnecessary, right?
Right. And forgiveness is such a big part of that, too. And when someone said, you know, you really need to forgive John, I was like, what? And I felt really guilty. I'm like, he went through so much and now he's not here. But that was another big one, too. And I actually, you know, went through a lot of prayer and counseling, and I was able to forgive John, and I'm free. He's free. It's, you know, absolutely amazing. One thing after he did die, we were talking earlier about things to say to people and
yeah.
and stuff like that. One thing that really surprisingly made me mad, someone gave me this beautifully matted glass picture with a beautiful frame, and it was like beautifully calligraphied out, and it was, I'm not far. I did not die. I'm the sparkle on the snow. I'm the wind in your hair. I'm the wax in your ears. And it's like, no, he's not. He's in heaven. And I took that thing and I threw it in the garbage.
That would have been my feeling too.
Yeah, don't give that to someone, Bill.
I won't. Good intentions, but that's not where John is. John's in the presence of God.
And I want to tell you, I got remarried 3.5 years ago to a great guy, you know, and no marriage is perfect, but it's almost is. And, you know, God is with us and great things happening at KTIS each and every day. I say we have a ringside seat to miracles and, you know, I've been through the fire and I'm sure there's more fire to go through, but I'm not alone.
Well, you give away a lot, and you can't give away something you don't have. And God had a hand in your whole life to be there. And both of you guys minister to me first thing in the morning. I always think on this station, Pam, Chuck Swindoll, back 30 years ago when I was first getting sober, was my Christian friend.
Yes.
And the impact of this station to me has been incredible, and both of you do a great job of that. So thank you so much for what you do there, and thanks for coming on the show. What a great show, Billy.
God bless you.
Yeah, and then, George, you were impacted by radio a long, long time ago, and you used to listen to Chuck Swindoll in the morning and Bill Pierce at night.
I did.
Night Sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could just picture you listening to Night Sounds.
You know, you're driving in your car, and you're lost, and you know you want to do this stuff. And Chuck was like my buddy.
Totally.
You know, I have imaginary friends, but this guy was actually talking to me. Yeah.
Just the other day, I came upon a Chuck Swindoll quote that has really been helping me again in my life, too, is life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it.
Yep.
Love that.
It's so true. Well, Pam, I have to say that your story is so moving, and I know we just touched on some of it. We touched on losing John and John being an addict, but there were many years of living with him as a person addicted to substances and other addictions.
And me with my parallel problems
course,
as codependent. Oh, yeah.
And I think one point that came out tonight is you can put one addiction aside, and unless you kill the beast, it's going to be back in some other form. And, George, we've seen that often.
Well, we talk about this. You know, it's like Chuck E. Cheese, that whack-a-mole thing. You hit one down, another one comes up. And we get things real simple on the show, Pam. Mm-hmm.
Plus, he still goes twice a week.
I do. The band there is just outstanding. They are good.
I
know. That mouse gives me nightmares. I heard they're changing him. You know, when I went to a widow's support group after John died, and definitely, well, I walked in there and most of them were 80 years old, and I thought, oh, what do you mean? Are you kidding me? They became some of my best friends. And I found my life verse there, Psalm 91 verse 4. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart.
I love it. Pam, if there's a widow out there tonight struggling in the same situation you're in, is there a way they could reach you?
Oh, yeah. I'll give you my email address.
Okay.
How about pam@mykTIS.com, also on Facebook.
Awesome. Pam, you've been a wonderful guest and a friend. Thank you so much for being on the show. George, another award-winning episode of Real Recovery in the can.
It was great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pam.
Yep. And
thanks,
Pam,
guys.
Thanks so much. Thanks for listening tonight. Have a great week. God willing, we'll see you next week. Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.